All right, cool. This comes from the last talk that you just gave us earlier today, and it has to do with instinct. And you gave the example of the baby learning how walking, and so it ties into protege, children, Mozart, people like this that seem to come in with this innate knowledge. So are you saying that now we are having more access, these children that are coming in, to the Akashic memories that we've had from our past
lives?
There's
actually two parts to this answer. What Kryon has indicated in the past that in, let's say there is a system of Akashic remembrance. Let's just say there is. Kryon says there is not a system, but he says there's the way of it. Some things are stronger in the Akash than others. And one of the strongest things is that which is artistic, creative, poetry, writing, music, abilities, artists, sculptures, somehow carry an Akash which is so great and so that it comes, not only does it affect the planning session upstairs, that you'll come back again and again and pick up where you left off. And that is part of a very interesting part of this whole Akashic return plan that Kryon says it is complex and we have free choice in all of it when we're not here. You probably heard this before, that we plan the next incarnation, and sometimes we plan difficulties because when we're up there, we say the difficulties are necessary for me to get to where I'm. I need to be kicked in the butt in order to find out what's going on. Then we come. You find out that when you have an Akashic remembrance, questions are asked. Would you come in? Let's say that in one lifetime you had a shamanic experience and you went to a place that was a very high level. When you come in again, does that affect anything? And the answer is, you betcha. And you will come back in a place where you continue that. So you never lose the what you learn metaphysically, spiritually, and all at a high level. You continue with it. Which means that so many of us who have awakened in the past will come in at some way knowing. It brings you to this meeting. At some way you know, and you're just now trying to figure out this. So this, I've watched this happen, there's even more. It's complicated, but specifically about the artists and the children, this is what we're seeing so much. It's just that if there's a weight placed upon, you know, what's remembered first, it's in that category. It's artistic and it's spiritual.
Hi, got a question, very important, and it's something very emotional to me. I have always been very sensitive as a child. I could feel the energy around people, about animals and plants. And later on in life, about 5 years ago, they told me that I was an empath. So my question is this, like I said, I feel the energy of animals, their suffering, even through pictures, I could feel them. And what humanity is doing to animals, as far as the religion, like they have the sacrificial religion with the Muslims, with the Jewish, they kill them, you know, as some joy and stuff. And as compassionate and as loving as I am, at those times, I always, and my sons know, I say, bastard humans, and I just can't control it. And because my passion is so much for the animals.
Let's just turn the page. That's just one of many kinds of sensitivities for empaths in particular that they have to learn to, you say, control. And that is to get to a place where it is understandable for your soul. Imagine if you were sensitive to this the situation with human slavery that's going on, to the degree that you are at the animals right now, and that was your focus. It would shut you down. It would shut you down, and you wouldn't be able to do a thing. So here's what I tell, especially those who are empaths and all. You have a sensitivity you were born with, and you know it. And so it's almost like you're raising a flag and you're saying, I am a sensitive and I know it. Now here comes something you're sensitive about. You ought to be able to understand here comes a bump in the road. Because if you let it shut you down and you can't control it, it doesn't help anybody around you. It doesn't help you. It doesn't help the planet. Your sensitivity, however, does help the planet, because the areas you're sensitive in that really help us, or you're sensitive, you'd be a good healer, and you probably are. Okay, that is part of you being the empath. So you can look at somebody and know what they need and know what they want. So you're going to have to look around, like so many of us, and look at the bad and the good, if you want to, the negative, the positive, and get a handle on those things that you don't want, and then start telling your body and your consciousness, this does not serve my magnificence. And that is the mantra from then on. That's the affirmation from then on. And I want to tell you, this works. Because slowly you'll realize the sensitivity is there, but it doesn't shut you down. So you can have a heart and you can say, there'll be a day when they won't do that. You know, and you can be strong about yourself, but don't let it shut you down, because it doesn't help us. It doesn't help you. And that's what I would say to any empath and any sensitive, because we need you in the places that do help, especially in the healing areas. All right?
Hi there. Hello. Oh, it's loud.
I know. It's not really that loud.
Kriana talked a lot about the weather changes,
yes.
How it's heating up now, but it's going to get colder, and how... we will have sort of like a mini ice age, not something
very good.
Really, you know,
yes,
detrimental.
That's correct.
But, and I know that he doesn't like to elaborate on any kind of negative kind of stuff, but...
It really isn't negative, and I'll discuss it with you.
Will you? I don't like the cold, so I'm just wondering...
You know what?
I got some advice. is there any way I can go where it's not going to be affected so much?
Of course. That's not really a crying question, but I'll give you... Sorry about that. Let me just tell you that in all of this, and we laugh and chuckle, it really isn't doom and gloom at all. And some people, it's funny how you look at these things and you make up your mind what's dark and what's light. For over a decade, more than a decade, maybe 15 years or more, Kriyan says cold is coming. And that is part of a cycle that involves what the earth does. And the earth does these things, and Christ even given the reasons for the cycles. But this, I'll give you a couple of things. First of all, what Christ has said. Now, that this, what is currently happening, has happened before many times on the planet, but even the last one, we weren't here, because the cycles are very long. So we have no history while we were here of what's coming. But we can look at the planet, and we can measure the ice cores. We can take a look at the atmospheric changes. We can look at how the glaciers come and go, and we say, oh my goodness, this is a cycle. This has happened many times on the planet. What we're getting instead is, oh my God, this is us. We did it, and we're killing the planet. That's what we got. Part of it is political. Part of it is whatever. It has nothing to do with what we have done. Now, before I even go any further, Kriyan is a greenie, a very much of a greenie. He says, you can't continue polluting the planet. There's going to be some inventions coming very soon, which are going to help you to clean this planet up and not continue. The end of fossil fuels, all of these kinds of things that you think are forever are starting to go away, and it's going to really help us. And Kriyan says, right now you're polluting, and that's going to kill you, not the planet. The planet is extremely resilient, more than you ever had any idea of. It's going to survive just fine, no matter what you do. But you may not. And so this is what Kriyan has said. So stop polluting. It's killing you. We did not cause this cycle, no matter what people have said. We didn't even advance the cycle. It would have been here anyway, and it's on schedule. Then I read some articles just recently, and there's some things on YouTube now. They're starting to really understand it, and meteorologists are realizing, hey, we forgot something. We've just looked at how the Earth works, and there's all of this incredible amount of information that they're processing about the Earth, the Earth, the Earth, the Earth. And now there's a couple of things. Excuse me, all of this is being caused by the sun. and its cycle and the cosmos around it. You cannot then cast away all of that information. So now they're recalibrating and they're looking at the sun cycle because it corresponds with the cold and the heat. There's what's happening here is something that's happened before. It's not fearful, and we've got to expect it. And we've been places, Monica and I, where the indigenous have talked about the last time the glaciers receded. The last time they did, you know? In other words, they come and they go, and they come and they go, and they come and they go. And we are getting extremely excited because we'll go up to Alaska and they're melting. And we're going, they're melting! I feel like the witch in the Wizard of Oz. I mean, really, it's just like, how could this be? You know, and you say, excuse me, this has happened before. The indigenous would raise their hand and go, yeah, the last time it happened, we had to move over there. Well, this is a cycle. And this cycle is going to create more cold. There will be places in the United States where snow will remain all year long. It's not going to cover cities with ice, and then you can't go there. We have time, even in severe places, we have time to build tunnels underground, change the electric grid, all of the things that Crine is warning us about. The only reason Crine is involved is the love of humanity. Look, it's going to get colder. Perhaps you might want to prepare. All these things that Colin is working on, in what he told you, that he's into energy and water and agriculture, is all related to this, because there's some startling things starting to happen and be invented and all like that, which may get us off the grid. And that's the big one, off the electric grid, because when it gets too cold, that's going to fail. We didn't build them for that kind of cold. So when you start all your heaters up together, there's not going to survive. Then if you've ever been through, now you're in a place on the planet, you may or may not have had this happen in Connecticut, but a true ice storm, like they would have, for instance, in Montreal in Canada, where everything freezes to the extent that the ice brings down the telephone poles. Okay, and all that. Do you understand that kills power in places that people can't get out because there's an ice storm? And sometimes that might last days, and you're going to have people perish because they just can't get out of their house. This is what Crine is saying. So you prepare for that, and it may be against the law to have to use a wood-burning stove, but it's not against the law to own one, and Crine has said that. So if that's the answer, so at least you could survive, that's an answer. But there are inventions coming which will make power creation perhaps neighborhood-wide. So if you have a power failure over here, everybody just goes, you know, to the next door. These are the kinds of things we're working on because of this. So how cold will it be? We've already seen the beginning of it with a polar vortex. And when that happened, I just sit back in my chair and said, here it comes. It's almost like validation. It's not going to be a onesie. The polar vortex is part of the process. And it may not happen next year or the one, but it's coming back. And that's what we're kind of talking about.
You talk about
one more time. I know that you can be heard here, but there. And is this in relation to this?
Exactly, yes.
Okay, because I don't want to go to a new subject because I'm not done with the
old subject. You talk about the free energy, the coils. Cryon has given us all the information.
Yeah, just a little closer.
And I'm sorry. And you talk about that, but then you say to us, okay, by 2030, we're really going to need some of this technology.
Yes.
But in the same token, you say that, or Cryon has said, that we will not have this technology until
now,
Cryon
said
we
would not have
the
quantum technology. He did not say we'd have that. In fact, we will have that.
Okay.
We're going to have enough of it that we will... It'll be purchasable and installable, and some of the electric companies will sell it to us. So that's another paradigm. The idea that a company is so entrenched in its infrastructure that it would never go for the new stuff is changing greatly, because they are smart enough to realize that they're not going to set themselves up to fail. And they can sell these new things and make money doing that, and at the same time, we won't need the grid anymore. So that other thing that you've confused, and thank you for receiving that criticism, well, is the quantum in stuff that we're not going to have yet. But the electricity, I expect even desalinization of water, these kinds of things, we're going to have those, and sooner than later. So back to this other thing, finally, this cycle, the fun thing about this cycle is that when you take a look at the ice cores, especially the ice cores will tell you what the atmosphere was like 100, 2,000, 3,000, whatever, years ago. And what Greg Braden brings to the party as a scientist, because he and I both have looked at this very carefully, is that when you study the ice cores, you find out something that is really, you want to lay back and laugh, is that without humans here, what you have is warming, and then you have increased carbon dioxide levels. And then it goes to the colding, if you want to call it colding, cooling. Did you see what I just said? And so without humans here, we showed increased carbon dioxide levels. And that has to do with the balance of the plants. That's nothing to do with us pumping stuff into the air. So they're telling you, because we pumped this stuff into the air, now we're going to have the warm and the cool. If we pump stuff into the air, it's going to kill us. But the warm and the cool is going to happen anyway. So that is the information from Cryon. Now, if you disagree, it's okay, it's fine. I mean, I don't mind anybody disagreeing with me. And what I'll just tell you is, just talk to me in 15 years. Because there are those who say global warming is here, and that means we're going to have a very hot planet very soon. And what Cryon is saying is just the opposite. It's the precursor to cooling. Okay?
Hi, how are you? So my question is, I've been working some time in developing programs, working with couples, preconception, preparation for pregnancy, because I really think working with children to help them come in and grow their highest potential is one of our greatest hopes for peace moving forward. Does Cryon say anything about helping prepare the way to conceive these incredible beings that are coming in, and early childhood raising that's so important?
I would say not specifically, but I would also tell you that he has commented how the Lemurians did it. He's talked about underwater birthing. He's talking about the very things that you are doing, although not specifically. I have received from Cryon such a download on how important it is that couples would start early. Now, what you're doing, I just want to celebrate your work. I don't know of anybody that I haven't heard of this before, where you actually meet with them at that point, even before conception or right afterwards, and discuss the soul of their child. And for having them to be on board, you know, with what they really are trying to do as it grows up in the womb, and as it feels its mother's emotions, as it knows these kinds of things intuitively connected, and as its heart starts to beat and the consciousness is there. We now know, you know, that the children in the womb, even not fully developed, are susceptible to the emotions and the stresses and all these things. And you are sitting here preparing them for knowing that. So that to be careful during the term, and they will be allied during the term, and maybe even understand that there's a soul between them that they're responsible for in a way that perhaps we've never thought about it before. That's very advanced. So I want to thank you for that. Right?
Thank you. Earlier today, you said that humanity was operating at about 35% consciousness, and that, I mean, clearly we don't have global peace. At about what point will we achieve that?
Thank you. That has been mentioned. It's not that far away, and it'll be in the 40s, maybe 10 to 15 points away. In percentage. Now, what does that mean in the real world? How long will it take? That is, Cryon continues to say, this is the big unknown. Because you are, we are, all of us are part of a free choice civilization. And he's constantly giving us an axiom to remember, two steps forward, one step back. And you may have heard this. What he is telling is, don't be disappointed when things seem to go backwards, because they will. It's not like this. It's like this. And so any kind of a learning curve, and anything you and I have done, there's times when we're learning to ride the bike and we'll fall off. Not to oversimplify it, but that's how consciousness may work. So just when we think we've got a handle on some things and it's looking good over here on the planet, or some things are cleaning up, there'll be something come in that looks like it voids it all. Or there'll be something from the left field that we discover, oh my God, we've got this thing happening. And to some, that is a killer. Fear comes in, and they'll just say, we'll stop expecting good things, not understanding that we're working a puzzle, and we're going to see forwards and backwards. I think that to get to maybe 44-45%, we will be in that category where we'll start to understand. First of all, what has to happen, according to what Crian said, is you have to have an evolvement to the degree where we'll start being able to pass instinct. What doesn't work, we don't now. We continue to war because one generation has no idea what the last one went through. And now we're saying that at 44%, perhaps 45, that will all pass through. You will have an instinct, just like the animals do, of what works. What is your enemy smell like? And your enemy will be war. And you won't go there and you won't do that because it doesn't work. It wipes you out and doesn't help you. Never did. It's dysfunctional. And to get to that place, there's a consciousness that will happen sooner than later. We're going to get there. I've always felt we're on the cusp of it now. I mean, we've got a situation where war was seeming to be something we're way overdue. I've heard that over and over and over, as though there were the repeating time thing I gave you yesterday, as though that is an axiom that you can't control and we're just going to do it ourselves because we can't control it and it's going to happen. Well, to some degree, there may be some things that will set you back. But in general, we're way overdue. In other words, we may be in that gray area. We're starting to realize what we want. I travel everywhere I go, no matter what the language is, whether it's a former Iron Curtain country, there's some of you don't even remember that term, Eastern Bloc, Western Bloc, no matter where we go, Venezuela, no matter where I go, you talk to regular people, and we all want the same thing. There isn't anybody, I've never met a group that said, yeah, well, we don't really want to be abundant, and we'd rather starve and have our kids, die horribly. Nobody wants that. I mean, you think about that. Where does this come from? How do wars, happen and all? And that's usually because of a few who are in control. And those few who are in control, that's where we're going to start seeing a big change, because we're going to recognize consciousness of political candidates better than we ever have before, and eventually we'll judge them on how kind and compassionate they are in campaigning. What about that one? You see what I'm saying? Now, how far away is that from now? And it may be a decade or two, but it will happen. And so do you see how one thing builds on another and how this is possible? We may have this before you think.
I'll come back to you. I just want to get that little boy.
Hello. My question has to do with karmic groups and the way that people incarnate on Earth. And I know Crian has commented on this before, and I haven't heard all the channeling, so I don't know if he's specifically commented on this, but over the last 20 years, we've had a revolution in technology through the internet and connecting people from across the world. And my question is that, let's say we have two people in the same karmic group who have something to do with each other, whether it's to accomplish the same mission or otherwise. But they get incarnated, let's say I'm here, for example, and the person I'm supposed to meet is in Japan. Is the internet now allowing people from across the world to experience, say, two different kinds of things that they need to accomplish? Let's say they needed to experience something in Asia to resolve one thing, but they also needed to meet me. And at the same time, I needed to accomplish something here, but I also needed to meet them. Is the internet allowing us to accomplish both those things at the same time?
Thank you. That's a very very good question, because it falls into that area. Yeah. It falls into that area is, are the changing times fitting in and enhancing a metaphysical concept of karma? Also in incarnation, people meeting one another, all the thing, or is it hurting it? Now, if you talk to old metaphysical people, sometimes what they're looking at is they're saying our technology is ruining everything. They don't understand what Crian said years and years ago. I don't know how old you were when Crian said, there'll come a time when everybody knows everything, there can be no more secrets. And that was before the internet. And that's what he was talking about. So can you imagine, the answer to your question is yes. Can you imagine now a world where we are open to meeting soulmates, twin flames, partners, whatever, long distance? But not only that, we're also open to many past karmic relationships over many lifetimes, being able to connect with many of them at the same time. Now, you can say, as an intellectual person, well, how does, what contract are you going to then have with who? And the answer is, what if you were supposed to do something together, all of you? Now, that's kind of out of the ballpark, because you always think of a karmic relationship as something the two of you do. And now we're looking at a group karmic relationship, or something that was always planned to be bigger than we thought it would be. And the internet is going to allow that. It already is. Part of us not going to war is being able to look at people in foreign lands and seeing they're just like us. But beyond that, because I know what I like about the young people today is they're not just satisfied with looking around on the internet, they're meeting people. And they're meeting people far and far and far away. Gary, my friend Gary, is a ham radio operator, and he is one of the original. I don't mean like he's 300 years old. I mean, but he was doing this. He's been doing this for a long time, and he's an original coder. And what he talked about was the beauty of being able to get, in those days, to be able to get on his ham radio and talk to a person in France. Or whatever, and you just talk. You can talk all night. And this is the internet is this on steroids, and you can do this, and anybody can do it. And the young people are learning to do it in ways we can't even think about. And so I'm going to tell you that's a very insightful question, and it really begs answers that are even beyond, I think, what Crian has talked about. Thank you.
Thank you. To follow the consciousness curve that you just spoke of, will we be able to self-govern, or will we have a new paradigm for government?
We will always self-govern, but we will have a new paradigm for self-governing. I've said this before, and I don't want to, if you've heard these question and answers before, if you've heard what Crian said, I don't want to just repeat and repeat and repeat. We're 200 and something years old as a civilization on the planet of Americans, a civilization, a community. And there is a time limit for certain things, if they don't change, where they'll break, and ours is broken. Whereas 200 years ago or so when we started, it was revolutionary. It was awesome. It was, the Crian has even said that the articles that are so precious to us, whether it's the Constitution or the Independence, whatever it is, were all channeled. All channeled. They were so new, and the fact that they were agreed to and we went forward with it was a real wild card on the planet. So here we are sitting with that is our lineage, and we know it, and we're proud of this. And now Crian says, you may have noticed it's broken. What you have now is a, let's call it a four-year cycle. Let's say that you, not an eight, because we could be eight, but you have a winner take all. You don't have what we used to have, what the founding fathers wanted. And that is you run on your platforms, you vote, and then you have somebody who's going to lead the country based upon that information and lead the country. What you have now is winner take all. Whoever wins wants to cancel everything that happened 4 years before and argue with the other side, keep the other side from doing anything, even if it's good, just because of that. So you have a fight now that was never, ever considered by the founding fathers to be the way it should work. It disables, eventually will disable a country. So what Crine has said is you may see another system pop up, and that system may be shown to you by another country that's not here yet. And that other country will have the advantage of having no history at all and starting from scratch. And it will take what we have and go past what we have. Instead of electing a president that has a party, you'll elect a non-partied president who will be the best negotiator. And he will have no party. He will run on a platform of how he could get the parties working together. And the plan he would have is what you're going to look at. So the parties would continue to be the parties, and you'd still belong to the parties, and you'd still elect your representatives and your governors and all this party-wide. But the center, the president, will be the one who can best guide the two parties together, negotiate, compromise to get things done. So it would have to be not another party, but another paradigm. Now, can you see how hard that would be to change here? It would require many amendments, probably. And you've seen how difficult it is to get anything passed at all. So that's why it may take another country to show us this works, even a small one. And then when we see it work, we'll demand it. And this is how so many things have worked, when we see it working someplace else and we look at our representatives and say, make that happen, you know, or you're out of a job. And then they caucus and go, we're going to be out of a job. And then things start to happen. But not just with ideas alone. They almost have to see it working, or something has to happen before it starts to solidify and have action in this country. Both Greg Braden and I and some others that meet and talk about these kinds of things, and a futurist group as well, have agreed that the country is headed into a broken state where we just can't we can't move anything forward. We have good programs, we got great ideas, but we're fighting each other to such an extent now that it's so tough to get anything done. And it doesn't matter who's in charge. That's the paradigm today. So if we have a change of party this next time, if it happened, we'll have the same thing. It's just reversed. We'll still fight. So something has got to change in the attitude or a wake-up call for that. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
Kind of related to what we were just talking about, where does teams and competition come into all this in reference to the United States?
Well, you'd have to categorize competition. Are you talking about competition in trade? Are you talking competition in weapons? Are you talking about consciousness and competition in sports? So all of the above. You're going to see different levels of, if you want to call it a competition of, used to be, when I was growing up, it was competition of ideas on how government should work. And therefore, you had communism and capitalism. That's a big deal, because you have, when I was in Russia, you have 50 years of church being against the law. And, you know, and I could just go and see what has happened to a society. These are the things I think are going to start relaxing. There'll be less competition on how things work, and more people will be allied with the economy being a certain way, us working together, the trade agreements, all of those kinds of things. There'll be more coalition with that. Another competing thing would be certain countries are spiritually based, and you're going to see that diminish, because that doesn't work. You can't have one country, you know, enslaving its people and not even letting it out because they don't believe you're supposed to spiritually meet anybody, and that's, you know, that's not going to work either, and it's going to affect them so much economically that will relax. Their people will demand it. And so that will be the end of certain countries that have closed themselves off spiritually, religion, if you want to say, for that reason. Competing religions on the planet, Crian has even addressed that. He says, you're not going to have one religion ever. That's not the way we think. You'll have ideas that are vastly different, just like you have today, but you'll have an agreement that the other guy can disagree without having to kill him for it. My loving God is much better than yours. I'm going to kill you because of it. And that is so ridiculous to say, but that's exactly the way it is today. That will then temper. So that's a kind of a competition, which is going to temper. So we'll always have, if you want to call it competing religions, and every religion wants the members, but they'll give the other ones a pass. So they'll say, and we see it's okay. To some degree, the Pope has done this with the Jewish community, and has apologized, and they're getting into each other's backyards and meeting one another and saying, okay, I don't agree with you, but I love God, you love God, let's shake hands and go and compete for members instead of what's happening now. That's just a few of the things that Crian has talked about. I'm sorry. The result is a greater, what do you call it, confluence of consciousness that would allow peace on earth. Because the more we talk with each other these ways, and the more we recognize and trade with one another, the less apt we are to go to war. And that is simply an elevated consciousness and how things go back. And again, it goes back to the internet. Because if you have an entire public watching everything that's going on, instead of simply trusting a small group of people to say what's going on, you can't get away with what you get away with in the past. Because everybody knows everything instantly. It's just right there.
Hi. Lee, I'm going to shift directions just a little bit into a healing thing here. And I hope I understood this correctly, but that's what I'm asking you for is clarity. Crian gave a channeling, well, you gave the channeling through Krylin once before, and he talked about three healing modalities. I believe he said that old souls could have access to. One seemed to be youthing. The other seemed to be pulling on a different instruction set, bringing that into your current life. And the other seemed to be pulling from the Akash, something more pristine, as I understood it. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, and if I can qualify the question a little bit, because in the question there was an assumption. This is available for everyone on the planet. But the ones who will see it and use it and understand it first are old souls. So for anyone listening to this right away, old soul is defined as somebody who has been here lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, perhaps even some of the original humans on the planet. And there's not that many. There's I've forgotten what Crian said, these one, do you remember? Okay, I don't know how many million that was, but in the scope of 7 billion people, it wasn't that many. One half of 1%, I think, of the existing people are old souls at this point. And then again, more than 1,000 lives, old souls. Now, that means that particular individual has an Akash, which is the most experienced, the most lives. That's an old soul. So that answers one of the questions, that with an enhanced consciousness, you're going to be able to go back and actually mine those Akashic, just like you'd gold mine. You go back and pick up the areas for personal healing that you need today. So let's say you've got a disease today and you didn't 5 lifetimes ago. It's as bizarre as it sounds. You are going to be able to do what you would call spontaneous, even remission, perhaps, by getting that which was healthy 5 lifetimes ago and pulling it forward into this life. That's just one of several. Youthing is the other one. And Crian said, although it's available for everyone, the ones who will understand it first and be able to implement it first are old souls. Because you've got the equipment and the knowledge. Those sitting here are old souls. The knowledge and the equipment of thinking above the paradigm that you've grown up with, realizing, hey, I think with the energy of my consciousness and where I am and what I believe, I can then change the body clock. I can talk to my cellular structure. Right now, you're told how old you are and what diseases you're supposed to have. And if you doubt me, just watch some television at night. And you will find them telling you exactly what's wrong with you because of your age. And then they will offer you medicines whose side effects will probably kill you, and they'll say it very quickly with a smile. That's what we're faced with today, and that's hard to battle if you believe it. And if you're just sitting there mindlessly and it just goes in, there's no delete key. The truth is this, that we can be a lot younger than our peers. And some of you may have seen this if you've ever gone back to a reunion, that they are, you go in and you want to say, who are all these old people? And then you say, wow, do I look that way too? And then some of them will come up and say, are you in the wrong reunion? We have control over how fast we age to a certain degree at this very moment. I rarely talk about my age, but I'm 75. And I don't feel 75. The blood tests and the homocysteine levels, which is one of the measures that they have, that's a forensic measure of a body that passes, and they don't know how old it was, will give us a sample of an age. I'm 63, according to that. So whatever I have done in energy, the way I appear, everything else, how I feel, I'm doing what Cryan said. I know I am. I'm starting to have friends pass away. And I will look at them and I'll see what they look like. And I don't recognize them at all. They're too old looking for where I am and what I believe is my reality. Is that fair to say? Do you understand? I don't want to talk about myself a lot. I just want you to know that this is possible. It works. And we all can do it at this point in time. You start talking to yourselves every morning. And sometimes Monica and I hear each other, you know, in the bathroom talking, and it'll be the what we do. And we're congratulating our own bodies for being so young, and we're telling them how happy we are with what they've accomplished cellular-wise. We give them an attaboy or an attagirl. We're not asking for things. We're backslapping. We're talking to ourselves and congratulating them for slowing down the clock and showing that it can be done. That works. We're the affirmation king and queen. And we believe it, and we know it works. And so that's the number one. So the third one's the same. The just getting into the cracks of another paradigm because we have an accelerated idea what we can do works. It really does. And it's not against, you know, it really is not against what doctors say. It really isn't. If you talk to a surgeon, and I have, who's watched people keep themselves alive in their 90s until their granddaughter graduates from high school, and they'll die the next day. And what does this tell you about the control we have on life force, on aging? And then you get into chasing away disease, and Cryan has given some really eye-rolling stuff. He says that once we get to that 44 or more, he says disease is low energy. It can attack us because we are. And when we get to a higher level, there'll be some diseases that don't have a chance. Not a chance. This will fly in the face of all medicine that says we're all the same all the time. You know, and a virus is a virus, and bacteria is bacteria. But someday, they're going to start seeing the charts, and they're going to start seeing some people who are not getting anything and other people who are getting a lot. And they'll say the only difference between them is attitude. And then they're going to have to look at what it is. And the other one is joy. Joy chases away disease. It just does.
Cryan talks a lot about the wild cards, and I was just wondering if you could speak on any new ones that might be coming along in our lifetime that might be...
You know, a wild card is just as it appears, is it's wild and it's a surprise. Cryan says there are some coming. Now, they're not always what you think, and this is where I get in trouble. Because we think wild cards are all something that's going to really be wonderful and help humanity, and they're all benevolent, and we look at this and that and so on. And even before the election, Cryan says there's a wild card coming, and it was Trump. So no matter, don't never get political, but just if you can just suspend yourself above the politics for a moment, you have a president who sticks a big stick in everything and goes like that. And that was necessary for wake-up calls, good and bad. And so we had to have those kinds of things. So we have to decide, number one, is that what we want? And number two, how we'll fix it? All of these things. And that would not have happened had Hillary got in, because it would have simply contained, as much as I wanted a woman president, I really did, as much as that was, it would have probably remained the same. And we might have gotten into some economic problems before we did. Before long. So this is the kind of things we're looking at. So whatever you think of Trump and all, he's still continuing to stick a stick in and stirring it around and seeing how many people he can fire and how fast. So, and isn't it funny that he had that show, You're Fired? I just think that's a riot. You know, it's so cute. It says how this, we have time for one more question.
Thank you so much for this Q&A. Really appreciate it. The indigenous in many different lands have a belief that we are responsible for the 9 generations prior to us and the 9 generations that are to come. And I know that you didn't have an opportunity to talk about the Lemurian teaching wheel. I am familiar with the indigenous medicine wheel of North America. And for us right now, who want to be able to support the raising of the consciousness of our families and our loved ones, with regard to these indigenous theories, are we able to influence our children and our children's children as we work on ourselves, and how does that work?
You know, the wheel of the indigenous as it exists today, and you mentioned it, is, and we didn't do the program today that we've done some other places to talk about it and show it. And we actually show the medicine wheel, and we also we show it next to the teaching wheel. And it probably has the most commonality of anything, even the Hindu and the Buddhist, after all these thousands and thousands of years, including the center. So I'm a fan of the medicine wheel and our own indigenous and the wisdom that is there all over the planet, and we've met them, and I think ours are pretty good. And what they are teaching about the generations, let's go back to the channel you just heard, because they're really thinking also in a linear fashion regarding the chemistry of a pure lineage, and you affect the generations past and the generations forward, because that's how they're thinking about their ancestors, themselves, who will eventually be ancestors, and then the ones after that. So they're looking at their own lineage in their box in this. However, what Krein was saying, what if our lineage is our past souls and what's coming up, our future lives and our past lives? If that's the case, we are totally in control of our own lineage, both backwards and forwards. And that's hard to explain, but Krein says it's there, that we can affect the past by what we do now. But in addition, you ask about our children. We are going to influence them or not with this old soul stuff we have. Not all of our kids are going to be old souls. I have grandchildren. I've got 5. One of them is not an old soul at all, and he is in trouble. And I can tell it. The other one is. I look in his eyes, and I know he's an old soul. The one who is not is the one that I want to focus on. And that's the one whose hand I want to hold first and say, I've got a lineage that I want to pass to you as your grandfather that is beyond anything chemically I could ever give to you. And someday, perhaps you'll pick up a crying book, and someday perhaps you will see this, what I really have for you. What I really have for you is something that will advance you through many lifetimes. And that's where it comes in, that we can change our kids. Because we really can influence them akashically, and everything that happens past that. So it's a little different, but it really is the same. I believe in indigenous wisdom, and the metaphors there, I think, still apply to us today. Is that helpful? Good. All right, here's what I want to tell you right now, is we're going to take a break, and I am not going to answer questions.